Everyone, welcome to the Next Level Sales Leadership Podcast. My guest today is Jimmy Chen. He's the Director of Worldwide Sales Development at HackerOne. Jimmy has been a leader and coach since high school when he recruited and led his high school fencing team. So he's the first person I've ever met who's done fencing. It's really awesome. He's a second and third line sales development leader at HackerOne. So over the last few years, he's quickly developed a knack for developing high-performing leaders and teams through his bottoms-up empowerment approach. You guys are really going to like this episode. Let's kick it off. Jimmy, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how did you first get promoted and then get to, you know, the point where you are now in your career? And I guess, first of all, man, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Derek, for having me. I'm super excited to be here. To answer your question directly about how I first got into management, it kind of goes all the way back to high school. When I was on the high school fencing team, you needed six people in order to field a competitive team. And we only had two people. So I had to figure out a way to recruit four people, teach them everything they need to know, get to love or at least enjoy the sport enough so that I could compete. So in the beginning, it was a bit self-serving. And over the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of working in really different environments. So, you know, in college, you know, I also coached a judo team. When I was in my post-college times, I was actually a high school teacher, teaching kids abroad in Japan English. And then when I came back to the U.S., I took on various roles in consulting for mission-driven organizations, so nonprofits and the like. And when you work in consulting, you have a lot of different project managers and leaders. So I've had the pleasure and you know, one could also say the displeasure of dealing with a lot of different managerial styles. So, you know, when you think about it at the end of the day, it's like, what are the things that you don't want to do that you've experienced and recognizing those patterns? And it took it with me to my first sales role at Waggle, where I was the first SDR. And, you know, with a little bit of luck initiative, I was able to be granted the privilege of building out a team there.
Cool. So how did that happen? Like, how did you go from SDR to manager?
Yeah, so Waggle, W-A-G-G-L, it was a small seed stage startup at the time, roughly about 20 or so people. I think, you know, with a lot of early stage organizations, it's about justifying the need for that, right? And for me, I was a pretty high performing SDR and I was kind of tapped on the shoulder to hire a second SDR. And I was at the time where I was deciding between, you know, like most SDRs, I wanted to go and become an AE, close business, make big money, or I had the opportunity to build a team. And for me, as I thought about it, the opportunity to do that for the first time, to create some processes, to potentially really drive the business forward, because obviously we had other AEs at that organization at the time, was really exciting for me. So I jumped at the opportunity, found my first SDR hire, Catherine, who is now living in Cambodia, living her best life, and cool. Built the team from there.
Cool. So how did you convince, like they asked you to manage this team?
So it took a little bit of convincing. I don't know if tapped on the shoulder was actually the best way of phrasing it, but you know, I was speaking with my manager at the time, his name was Adam, who was our head of product as well as the head of sales. And, you know, with a lot of organizations, SDRs is a bit of a black hole, right? It was something that no one really knew how to do and do well, particularly in early stage organization where there's a lot of competition for resources. We didn't have a strong marketing presence at the time. So for us, the ability to generate our own deals, work closely with AEs was something that was valued. And, you know, thankfully I was a successful SDR. So the conversation was around, hey, wouldn't it be great if we found more people like me, for the lack of better words, to really help and develop, you know, additional pipeline for our business? And I spoke with our head of sales at the time. He wasn't essentially bought in from the start, but it was really thinking about, you know, who's actually passionate about this and why, you know, what are the actual potential business implications of building out an SDR program, that they gave me a shot, that I was able to hire this other person to take on certain parts of the role as I continue to be kind of this player coach, SDR leader, right? Like a team lead, if you will. And then over the next couple of months, I hired more and more people and I slowly phased myself out of like the direct IC responsibilities.
Right. And now you manage managers. Can you talk about how you bridge that gap?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was at Waggle, I was there for a little bit under 2 years. I think I was like a year and 11 months and 2 weeks. That's rather specific. almost made the 2 year mark. But I saw that a friend of mine needed help. So roughly March timeframe, like a couple of months prior to me leaving Waggle, I met a guy at a conference. His name was Adam August. And Adam wanted to figure out how to build, you know, his SDR team, because they were at their infancy at HackerOne. So he was an SDR at HackerOne at the time we met at a conference. And, you know, I shared with him the Waggle playbook, and then he shared the playbook to his boss, our current SVP of sales, Marjorie. And Marjorie just took a look, and you know, my friend wanted to connect me with her to just kind of talk shop for a bit. And, you know, we ended up connecting. And initially, I wasn't super interested, right? I was very happy with my team. But in the, you know, 3 to 6 months that followed, they reached out again to have a conversation. And again, I wasn't super interested. We were doing well. I was very pleased with my team. But my current boss now, Marjorie, said to me, you know, I'm looking for one person to manage the entirety of sales development at this organization. And those words, I still remember it to this day, was kind of what sent me like, okay, this is the right time to go. Right? Because as great as Waggle was, we weren't growing at the pace that we needed to. And for a lot of SDR leaders, when you think about what career growth looks like, oftentimes we think a bigger team or a more complex structure. And there was a need here at an organization a little bit deeper into their maturity to have that ability. So I joined HackerOne as a senior manager, where I was a frontline manager. And a couple of months after that, they needed managerial hires in London, where we hired our first London-based SDR manager. And I managed the full team as well as the manager of the London team.
Okay, very cool. And how big was the org when you took it over, and how big are you now?
I think we were about 10-ish, and I think we're roughly doubling in size to be about 20 or so, obviously depending on need over the course of the year. Right now, though, we have a pretty generous managerial structure. So we have 3 SDR leaders in the US, and then 1 in the UK. So 1-to-5 ratio, which means that we still have space for growth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Okay. Cool. Thinking back to your first sales leadership role, if your stories are better from other leadership, that's cool too.
Sure, yeah.
What I want to know is, what are the mistakes that you made that you wish you could go back and do differently?
Yeah, I think hindsight being 2020, I think when I first took on my first leadership role when I was at Waggle, I think that I was a little bit anxious about everything. So I came from a nonprofit and consulting background where I had a lot of different engagement managers I worked with. And I was kind of burnt out from the experiences. Like, I had a lot of different leadership styles. So I had a lot of strong memories of, you know, sitting in front of a senior partner who I showed my PowerPoint to, who basically belittled me and told me to change things over the course of 30 minutes, to other folks that, you know, didn't really appreciate my work and the contributions that I was trying to make, and really just stifled a lot of creativity and initiative. So I think I over-indexed. I think I took those experiences, personal experiences, and was a bit too laissez-faire. And it was a little bit of anyone can do whatever they want. There wasn't a lot of accountability. I wasn't very good at setting expectations with my team initially, right? It was like, I also took kind of like the classic first-time manager mistake of being the super rep. So like I mentioned earlier, I was a successful SDR at the company. So it was one of those, don't worry, guys, like, let me show you how it's done. And I ended up doing it for them, not realizing that actually they didn't learn anything, right? There wasn't a sense of enablement involved. I didn't necessarily foster that culture. I was just doing it, hey, take a look at me. And also being a person without as much of a backbone, for lack of better words, that I have. I didn't necessarily have the courage to have those hard conversations. So quite a lot of mistakes. And as I talk through them, more are coming, but I think I'll leave you with those two.
Let's take a deeper dive there. So, okay, you talked about setting expectations.
Sure.
How do you do that? What are a couple pointers or a couple really important items when it comes to setting expectations with reps?
Yeah, No, that's a good question. I think at the super high level, right, it's making sure that there is a general alignment behind the why, right? So if you tell your rep at the start when they're very impressionable, say, hey, I need you to fetch me a coffee every morning, they're going to go, what the heck? Like, that's crazy. Why would I do that? Right. And in some cases, that is setting expectations. But what's the foundation or basis of those expectations? Right. You know, it's completely willy-nilly. For me, it's really important for new managers to understand why they're telling different reps to do things. So in the SDR space, you see this movement going on of, you know, this personalization at scale, which is very important and something that you should definitely consider in your SDR program, if not. But what people lose is oftentimes the context, right? So certain organizations will have a lot of success adopting that strategy based on their go-to-market, and other organizations may be more beneficial by taking a more volume-based approach because that's the need, right? And for them, it's not necessarily just being prescriptive. It's being prescriptive with a clear reason, and that reason aligns to some shared understanding of why they're doing it. So doing more activities is the prescription, but doing more activities in the context of expanding our awareness in this new market or this industry that we're going after, that makes it easier to have those conversations as a manager, and it helps reps understand that it's not just my boss wants me to make more calls, it's actually the strategy of the company for a specific purpose.
Right, so it's like, here's what we're doing, here's how we're doing it, here's why we're doing it, and why we're exactly doing it this way.
Yes.
And do you find yourself having that, you know, one of the things I've come to, I guess, admit in my life is that when managing teams, is how often communication has to be repeated before mm-hmm. it's fully internalized. What's your experience with that?
Jarek, absolutely, right? I think as a manager, one of the skills that you develop is the ability to frame and communicate things to different people in different ways, right? I think as your organization, your team begins to grow, it becomes an internal communications challenge, not just for, you know, you being the manager of a sales team, but the organization as a whole. Tying this back to this idea of setting expectations, it's really understanding the why. If you tell your reps to do something and they don't understand and you don't understand, that's where problems arise, right? Because you got to answer questions and the like. So it's more a reflection of management as a whole. But to the internal communications front, I take a multimodal approach, right? So it's either telling people during a one-on-one in person like this, if they have certain communication styles that favor that, it's either in writing. We've been using video more because our US SDR team is fully remote now. And will continue to be in the next year. So if you know anyone that's looking for an SDR job, please let me know, right? And of course,
anywhere in the country,
just anywhere in the US. Okay. That's right.
Cool.
Well, we have payroll set up. We're good. And of course, you know, in big meetings and having that reinforcement across their teammates. So if you or your peers or the people on your team knows what's going on and those are the right expectations or have heard about this new campaign we're running or whatever, that's how things actually stick. It's the reinforcement of that.
Great. So it sounds like you do something similar to what I've always done, or, you know, since I learned it, which is meet with the team, tell everybody what's up and why, maybe an email follow-up, and then in every one-on-one, and then asking people about it the next time, just every mode that you can think of, communicate that, make sure people are with you. Awesome.
Yep, okay. Exactly. Surround sound.
What was the second? Do you remember what the second mistake you talked about was?
I think it's not having a backbone.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I think, you know, and I'll speak for myself here. It's like when you think about what a manager is, particularly a sales manager, there are some really troubling images that come into your head right away, right? I think we're still suffering from this, you know, like, used car salesman, and no disrespect, obviously, to the people that sell cars. It's a tough role, right? You know, the call centers and the like, right? That really just kind of predominate this image of inside sales, where there's a person, for lack of better words, lording over you, telling you to do this, getting yelled at, not treating people with the utmost respect. And it's this characterization that we try to fight against as new sales managers, right? Like, I don't want to be that guy or gal that just blows up and yells at people and tells them that, like, you know, what they need to do and you know, get fiery and everything. And to fight against that image that I thought that people had, right? I ended up becoming too, for lack of a better word, soft, right? And saying, yeah, that's cool, guys. Like, whatever you want, and hoping that, you know, they'll change behavior. But that's not how behaviors are changed, right? It's through communication, reinforcement, and understanding that there's an element of accountability there, right? Like, I remember when I had to fire or let go of my first person, it was tough. I would argue that it was tougher for me.
Hard people sucks. Yeah.
So it's developing that backbone to have those hard conversations, right? And doing so in a human way. It's like finding that balance, and on a personal level, being okay with that, right? Like, no one wants to walk in there in a situation that you can control and have a lot of discomfort. But you gotta do it.
Gotta do it. I think firing people is the worst part of the job. I mean, it's, you know, most cases worse for the person getting fired than for the manager, but
yep,
not fun. I feel you on this stuff, man. I think I've been all over the map on this in terms of the, you know, backbone side. Cause I went from probably the right amount of tough very early to way too much of a hard ass because I felt pressure from, you know, the people above me to getting feedback that I was too much of a hard ass, and then swinging the total opposite way into just like having nothing, and eventually coming back. But it's, you know, you can't please everybody. You just got to think about what's the right thing to do.
Yep. Totally. Right. It's like when you get feedback like that, it's as a manager, like, it's how do you handle that feedback? Right. Cause some people I've seen where they just go and they just completely like, oh my gosh, like, I'm just going to go completely the other way. And then they become afraid of having a tough conversation, and they lose the part of the job that they need to, you know, it's just the crappy part of a managerial job, right? No one wants to, you know, again, walk into an uncomfortable situation, but you got to do it. Right. And it's understanding how much of that is legitimate, right, if you will, and how much of that is based, you know, is something that I just have to deal with, because you're not going to be best friends with everyone, and you shouldn't aspire to do that, right? There's a fine line that you always have to dance around.
Yeah, and you can't avoid uncomfortable situations in life, let alone in the job. Mm-hmm. So you might as well just, which ones are worth it, you know? So what are some tips, aside from what we've already covered, are there some tips that you would give to somebody who has been promoted in the last year or two, and they're just, they're trying to like become really excellent?
So I think, you know, in the last year or two, if you're a new sales manager, the first thing you want to establish is your credibility, right? And oftentimes you get that credibility through the fact that you were probably a pretty strong performer at your organization. Right. If you're like a first time manager at a new organization, I think that that's pretty tough, but you can establish credibility in a number of ways. First and foremost, and for sales manager, most important are your results, right? Can you actually do what you are in charge of? Right. And then the second is, how do you get there? And the how do you get there is where there's a lot more art than there is science, right? It's about, how do you work with the people that you're responsible for managing? What's the style that you have in terms of, you know, how you set the culture, how you communicate with different people, how do you set expectations? And then the hard part is it's about how you make people feel, right? And thinking about, how do you either empower people, disempower people, unfortunately, right? And being able to figure out that balance, because it's always going to be different with different teams. Depending on the size of the team, right, you'll have a different style. But it's just being very self-aware and conscious that, hey, like, there are gaps that you may have and you got to work toward them, but at least putting it out there so that you can start exploring it. And for those that haven't thought about getting coaching, I would recommend that as well. Someone external, maybe a mentor, someone to just kind of soundboard. Like, that's been something that's been super helpful for me. Like, and this is a long-winded answer, but when I first started, while I did have all these bad experiences, I actually didn't know what good looked like. So a lot of people that I hope are listening to this, might it be people that I've spoken to in the past, and it's just being kind of out there and saying, hey, I don't actually know everything I need to know to be super successful. I have the bare bones. I have, you know, the belief of people to put me into this position, but how did that work for you? And we were talking about this earlier, Derek. It's not just about being a good sales manager, right? As you continue to advance, what you find is that there's the role and the skill of management and leadership that oftentimes people need to develop. And for folks listening to this podcast, it's great that you see that, right? Because you're getting a lot of this exposure. But oftentimes in organizations, general leadership and management, which is what a lot of people actually need, there's just not a lot of enablement resources there. So it's about being proactive, right? Reading, listening to podcasts, talking to other leaders, and figuring out what's the style that's going to work for you and your team in support of your goals.
Totally. This is a really good opportunity, by the way, for me to promote or plug, I guess, the mastermind group that I'm running. So Next Level Leadership Mastermind, for anyone interested in checking it out, there'll be a link in the show notes. But it's a small group of relatively new managers talking through problems, you know, learning a lot, you know, getting basically talking through the Cliff's Notes, all the books that we're told that we should read, and, you know, getting that education that, you know, most of us don't get. I think my friend Mike Tuso told me that the typical sales manager gets zero training until they've been doing the job for 10 years.
Yep. That sounds about right. Like, that sounds actually pretty spot on. And if I were to just kind of add an additional plug to your mastermind group, I think the value of having that community is more than just sharing, you know, best practices and stuff. Like, that's almost transactional, right? It's building a relationship with people in a very similar circumstance, particularly in this environment where everyone is remote. Like, if I were to give you an analogy, it's like, you know, why do you do boot camp when you are in the army, right? It's having those shared experiences, shared hardship that you can talk through. And it's not everything is going to be like, hey, you should do this. It's going to be like, hey, a rep ran this and it was a tough conversation, and someone's, you know, great contribution could be like, that sucks, I'm sorry. And sometimes that's all you need to hear, right? Like, it's just, that's just part of the job. So I would recommend folks listening to join this group.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Yeah, it's important. I think what you're saying is it's important to remember that the people we manage are people first, you know, they're employees second. And most people just want positive encouragement. They want to feel like they're important. And understood. Cool, man. Any other stories? I want to give you an opportunity to tell some other stories that you're dying to tell us. Anything else that would be helpful for our audience to know?
You know, I think we covered quite a few topics, and obviously it's one of those things that you just kind of have to get spurred to talk about a little bit more. But I think, like, cool. If I were to give like a cliff notes of everything, right, it's like, you know, it's to adopt this amateur mindset and reach out to people in a certain circumstance, right? So that you can create, you know, first a sounding board or a safe space for you to air any sort of issues that you're running into. It's being told that it's okay to have hard conversations because that's part of the job. It's communicating early and often to not only your people, but to the people above you, right? And above all, it's remembering that, you know, at the end of the day, your role is to support the success of the people that you lead. Right? Not necessarily egotistical, on the manager, rah, 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 look at how great my team is. It's like, you know, you're actually there to take a back seat. You can lead from the front, but you're not the person taking the glory, right? It's the reps on your team, the people under your charge. And I think those are some of the most important principles.
Yeah. Excellent summary, man. Listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show. You dropped a lot of knowledge really fast. So thanks for coming on and doing this, man.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Where can people learn more about you?
Yeah, so obviously you can connect with me on LinkedIn. If you know anyone hiring or looking for an SDR remote role across the US or in office in London, UK, just have them send me an email at jimmy@hackerone.com, and we're happy to set you up. Much appreciated. And we also have a referral bonus too. So if you get me someone good and we hire them, we'll pay you. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I think it's like $1,000 if they're external. Like, if, like, let's say, Derek, you introduce me to a fantastic SDR candidate and we hire him, you would qualify to receive $1,000 US. $10.99
Awesome.
Pre-tax.
Sure. Tax man got to get his money. All right, Jimmy. Thanks so much, man. Hope you have an excellent holiday.
Thank you. Happy holidays. You too.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll probably like the Next Level Private Mastermind. It's a small group of newish sales leaders who are helping each other grow faster and become better. Each week, we cover a specific topic and troubleshoot actual issues new leaders run into. The link is in the show notes or go to derekjankowski.com/mastermind. Thanks.